हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्थु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय। Okay, so Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 24, the 61 explanations of the Atmarama verse. Okay, so then continue with Srila Prabhupada's purport. Everyone has a chance to become purified by associating with this Krishna consciousness movement and strictly following the rules and regulations. By chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from all contamination, especially contamination brought about by the killing of animals. Lord Krishna himself requests, Sarva dharmam parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja, aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami maasuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Bhagavad Gita 18:66. We should take this instruction from Krishna and follow in the footsteps of Narad Muni in the disciplic succession. If we simply surrender under Krishna's lotus feet and take this Krishna conscious movement seriously, we can be freed from the karma incurred by sin. If we are intelligent enough, we shall engage in the loving service of the Lord. Then our lives will be successful, and we shall not have to suffer like the hunter life after life. By killing animals, not only will we be bereft of the human form, but we will have to take an animal form and somehow or other be killed by the same type of animal we have killed. This is the law of nature. The Sanskrit word mamsa means meat. It is said, mamsaha kadati iti mamsaha. That is, now I am eating the flesh of an animal who will someday in the future be eating my flesh. That's the actual meaning of when you say mamsa. Then that means meat, right? And so, but the word here says mamsaha, kadati iti mamsaha, means I eat you, you eat me. And you have to say this into the ear of the animal before it's killed. You know, so you would expect someone would think about this kind of stuff, but not necessarily like that. And Maharaj, so let alone, and that's following ritual, yes?
Maharaj, this lower forms of species of human beings among four-legged species, they are meat eaters.
Four-legged species of human beings.
Four-legged species.
The four-legged species.
Okay. Four-legged.
Four-legged, 400, not 4 lakh.
400,000. Yeah.
The 400,000 means of... 400,000, the 4 lakh, yes. Species of human life. Okay.
Yes, yes. Out of them, the lower ones are meat eaters, like these hunters.
Like these hunters?
Yeah.
It may be, but that doesn't mean because they're human, then they have the reactions.
Correct, correct.
It's only the 8 lakh, they don't. If it's their food, like a tiger killing an animal and eating it, there's no reaction. The reaction, yes, is being the tiger already. That's already the reaction.
Yes, Maharaj.
Because the living entity is supposed to be human.
Yes, yes, Maharaj. When this when this lower species, they cut animal meat eaters, they get again the body of that animal and that animal kills this species. So just wanted to know how this lower forms of human life can ever rise to higher forms, because they will be meat eaters in lower forms. They take animal birth again. Again, they become meat eaters. Again, they'll take animals.
How do you think you keep yourself busy for so long in the material world? Right?
Yes.
You have the 8,400,000 species. You know, and it's not the only thing they do wrong. But then at some point, they might decide that they want to do something else. So they get association of devotees or something else happens. So the point is the cycle of samsara means it takes a long time to go up. You could say, oh, but, you know, so many lifetimes, thousands, but to do anything like the yogis, you know, it says they drill the breath for, I think it says thousands or millions of lifetimes. And so, you know, Prabhupada mentioned about Ravi Shankar, that he's been doing what he's been doing for 1,000 lifetimes. He's been playing sitar for 1,000 lifetimes.
Yes.
So, you know, what's the problem? It takes a long time. Why? What else are you going to be doing here?
So only when they're
doing devotional
do
service. Sorry?
Only when they decide to do something else, then they rise up to the species.
That's the way anything is, because they're there and they're rising up. What about Indra? Him going down, he became a pig, no?
Yes, ma'am.
That you have to understand, it's a cycle. Up the top is Brahma, and at the bottom you have the Indra Gopa. And people are moving through that cycle of samsara. So you don't have to worry how it's being managed and how will they ever get out. The point is as it mentions, all these atmaramas, by coming in contact with the devotee, then they can take up and become attracted to Krishna, take up devotional service. Because that's the only worthwhile, but how it mechanically goes on, what do you care?
Yes, Maharaj.
Does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj.
You know, yeah. So that's the whole point. Sri Chaitanya 224, 253. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, the hunter then admitted that he was convinced of his sinful activity. And he said, I have been taught this business from my very childhood. Now I am wondering how I can become freed from these unlimited volumes of sinful activity. Srila Prabhupada, this kind of admission is very beneficial as long as one does not again commit sin. Cheating and hypocrisy are not tolerated by higher authorities. One understands what sin is, you should give it up with sincerity and regret and surrender unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through his agent, the pure devotee. In this way, one can be freed from the reactions of sin and make progress in devotional service. However, if one continues committing sins after making some atonement, he will not be saved. In the Shastra, such atonement is compared to an elephant's bathing. An elephant takes a very good bath and cleanses its body very nicely. But as soon as it comes out of the water, it picks up some dust on the shore and throws it all over its body. Atonement may be carried out very nicely, but it will not help a person if he continues committing sins. Therefore, the hunter first admitted his sinful activity before the saintly person Narada and then asked how he could be saved. Right, so that idea is you understand what it is, and then you want to move forward, and you do your best in moving forward, and Krishna will take care. But there should be that sincerity that one actually wants to move forward. 224, 254. The hunter continued, my dear sir, please tell me how I can be relieved from the reactions of my past sinful life. Now I fully surrender unto you and fall down at your lotus feet. Please deliver me from sinful reactions. Srila Prabhupada, by the grace of Narad Muni, the hunter came to his good senses and immediately surrendered unto the saint's lotus feet. This is the process. By associating with the saintly person, one is able to understand the reactions of his sinful life. When one voluntarily surrenders to a saintly person who is a representative of Krishna and follows his instructions, one can become freed from sinful reactions. Krishna demands the surrender of a sinful man, and Krishna's representative gives the same instructions. The representative of Krishna never tells his disciple, surrender unto me. Rather, he says, surrender unto Krishna. The disciple accepts this principle and surrenders himself through the representative of Krishna. His life is saved. In other words, we're always surrendering to Krishna, but it's through the medium of the representative of Krishna. But the point is we're surrendering to Krishna. So that's always the point, is that sometimes ask, how can we remain humble? It's because it's not us who's being involved. We're just an instrument in the whole. process that is there. Okay. 224, 255. Nard Muni assured the hunter, if you listen to my instructions, I shall find a way you can be liberated. Srila Prabhupada. Gorangera Bhakti Gane Jane Jane Shakti Dhare. The purport of this song is that the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are very powerful, and each and every one of them can deliver the whole world. What then to speak of Nard Muni? One follows the instructions of Nard Muni, one can be delivered from any number of sinful reactions. This is the process. One must follow the instructions of a spiritual master. Then one certainly will be delivered from all sinful reactions. This is the secret of success. Yasya deve para bhaktir, yata deve tata guru. I guess it's Sweta Swartara Upanishad 6:23. If one has unflinching faith in Krishna and the spiritual master, the result is tasyaite katita hyarta prakashante mahatmanaha. All the conclusions of the revealed scriptures will be open to such a person. A pure devotee of Krishna can make the same demands that Nard Muni is making. He says, if you follow my instructions, I shall take responsibility for your liberation. A pure devotee like Narada can give assurance to any sinful man, because by the grace of the Lord, such a devotee is empowered to deliver any sinful person if that person follows the principles set forth. 224, 256. The hunter then said, my dear sir, whatever you say, I shall do. Narada immediately ordered him, first of all, break your bow. Then I shall tell you what is to be done. Srila Prabhupada. This is the process of initiation. The disciple must vow that he will no longer commit sinful activity. Namely, illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication. So this is standard if you're worshiping Vishnu, right? Means any of that, these are eternal principles. So we see Nard Muni here with Magrari the hunter is telling the same thing. And also Manohi mentions this. Sometimes people say, no, Srila Prabhupada introduced this and that. No, these are the standard Vedic things. They're always there. They get confused because they think, oh, if I worship Kali, then you can, you know, sacrifice a goat and things like that. But that's because these people are sinful. And so you're trying to regulate their sinfulness. But if you want to become serious about spiritual life, then you follow these four. Anybody who's interested in being situated in the mode of goodness, then this would be standard. He promises to execute the order of the spiritual master. Then the spiritual master takes care of him and elevates him to spiritual emancipation. 224, 257. The hunter replied, if I break my bow, how shall I maintain myself? Nard Muni replied, do not worry. I shall supply all your food every day. Srila Prabhupada. The source of our income is not actually the source of our maintenance. Every living being, from the great Brahma down to an insignificant ant, is being maintained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Eko bahunam yo vidadhati kaman. The one Supreme Being, Krishna, maintains everyone. Our so-called source of income is our own choice only. If I wish to be a hunter, it will appear that hunting is the source of my maintenance. If I become a brahmana and completely depend on Krishna, I do not conduct a business, but nonetheless my maintenance is supplied by Krishna. The hunter was disturbed about breaking his bow because he was worried about his income. Nard Muni assured the hunter because he knew that the hunter was not being maintained by the bow, but by Krishna. Being the agent, so it means you're going to, whatever it is, your occupation, you'll think that's what maintains you. Just like even the beggar in the street, it's his begging that maintains it. So you have a nature, whatever that nature you take up, you know, according to what's recommended. And you follow, but Krishna is maintaining you anyway, because people have to do work. And by that, then they are able to purify themselves, elevate themselves. But it's only when this whole process is connected to Krishna, that then it takes on a very strong position. Otherwise, then one will rotate in the cycle of samsara, sometimes going up, sometimes going down. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. Being thus assured by the great sage Narada Muni, the hunter broke his bow, immediately fell down at the sage's lotus feet, and fully surrendered. After this, Narada Muni raised him and with his hand gave him instructions for spiritual advancement. Okay, no, raised him with his hand and gave him instructions for spiritual advancement. Not, he raised him and with his hand he gave, no, yeah. Narada Muni then advised the hunter, return home and distribute whatever riches you have to the pure Brahmins who know the absolute truth. After you've distributed all your riches to the Brahmins, you and your wife should leave home, each of you taking only one cloth to wear. Srila Prabhupada. This is the process of renunciation at the stage of vanaprastha. After enjoying household life for some time, the husband and wife must leave home and distribute their riches to Brahmins and Vaishnavas. One can keep his wife and his assistant in the vanaprastha stage. The idea is that the wife will assist the husband in spiritual advancement. So the services they do and all that, they may be doing puja or cooking or doing things, whatever it is that they're doing. And then he'll be involved in doing these things connected to the Lord. She'll be involved in assisting in these things connected to the Lord. You know, or she may be doing some service, he's doing some other service. But the point is they're both engaged in service to the Lord. That's the whole point. Vanaprastha means that you're basically fully absorbed in that way. Therefore, Narada Muni advised a hunter to adopt the vanaprastha stage and leave home. It is not that a grihastha should live at home until he dies. Vanaprastha is preliminary to sannyas. In the Krishna conscious movement, there are many young couples engaged in the Lord's service. Eventually, they are supposed to take vanaprastha, and after the vanaprastha stage, the husband may take sannyas in order to preach. The wife may then remain alone and serve the deity or engage in other activities within the Krishna consciousness movement, right? So the husband takes sannyas, and then he goes out and travels and doesn't have a place. And the wife, then she would naturally become a recluse, and then she would be absorbed in full-time service to the Lord in some way or another. So that's the main principle. Because it's ladies are more comfortable kind of being on their own in their own scene. And while men, then the more they move and they have the variety of things, then it just means it makes it keeps life very simple. 224, 260 to 261. Narada Muni continued, leave your home and go to the river. There you should construct a small cottage. In front of the cottage, you should grow a tulsi plant on a raised platform. After planting the tulsi tree before your house, you should daily circumambulate that tulsi plant, serve her by giving her water and other things, and constantly chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Srila Prabhupada, this is the beginning of spiritual life. After leaving household life, one may go to a holy place, such as the bank of the Ganges or Jamuna, and erect a small cottage. A small cottage can be constructed without any expenditure. Four logs serving as pillars can be secured by any man from the forest. The roof can be covered with leaves and one can cleanse the inside. Thus one can live very peacefully. In any condition, any man can live in a small cottage, plant a tulsi tree, water it in the morning, offer it prayers, and continuously chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Thus one can make vigorous spiritual advancement. This is not at all difficult. One simply has to follow the instructions of the spiritual master strictly. Then everything will be successful in due course of time. As far as eating is concerned, there's no problem. If Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, supplies everyone with eatables, why should he not supply his devotee? Sometimes the devotee will not even bother to construct a cottage. He will simply go to live in a mountain cave. One may live in a cave, in a cottage beside a river, in a palace or in a big city like New York or London. In any case, a devotee can follow the instructions of a spiritual master and engage in devotional service by watering the tulsi plant and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Taking the advice of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, one can go to any part of the world and instruct people to become devotees of the Lord by following the regular principles. worshiping the Tulsi plant and continuously chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So that's something that everybody can be instructed in, everybody can do, everybody can follow. Because this basic principle then will make the whole process work. Because you're chanting, you know, like this, that main thing is there. You're worshiping Tulsi. And that main aspect there, everything else will come from that. So we see also that girl in Benapole, then Haridas Thakur, then he engaged her like that. He had his little cottage and a Tulsi, and then she just sat down and worshiped Tulsi and chanted Hare Krishna. So that's the point. It's so simple, and Krishna will take it. Nard Muni continued, every day I shall send sufficient food for you both. You can take as much food as you want. Srila Prabhupada, when a person takes to Krishna consciousness, there's no need to care for material necessities. Krishna says, yoga kshemam vaham yaham. Bhagavad Gita 9:22. I personally carry all necessities to my devotees. Why should one be anxious about the necessities of life? The principle should be that one should not want more than what is absolutely necessary. Nard Muni advises the hunter to accept only what is absolutely necessary for him and his wife. The devotee should always be alert to consume only those things that he absolutely requires and not create unnecessary needs. Right, so you see how much you require, how much you need and all that. Because as a grihastha, you've spent so many years and you've developed a certain, you know, practice, a certain routine. You can see how much you eat and all that. So it's not that as a grihastha, you're eating four chapatis and now as a vanaprastha, now you eat six. No, it's just you eat four chapatis, that's it. You don't need to eat more. You don't have to worry about more. So you've seen what it is, what works, and then you just stick to that. And so then that is nicely taken care of. Right, so that's your problem. That don't create unnecessary needs, like that. Yeah, because otherwise, then things just build up and expand. 224, 263 to 265. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. The three animals that were half killed were then brought to their consciousness by the sage Narada. Indeed, the animals got up and swiftly fled. When the hunter saw the half-killed animals flee, he was certainly struck with wonder. He then offered his respectful obeisances to the sage Narada and returned home. After all this, Nard Muni went to his destination. After the hunter returned home, he exactly followed the instructions of his spiritual master, Narada. Srila Prabhupada, for spiritual advancement, one must have a bona fide spiritual master and follow his instructions in order to be assured of advancement. 224, 266. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. The news that the hunter had become a Vaishnav spread all over the village. Indeed, all the villagers brought alms and presented them to the Vaishnava who had formerly been a hunter. Srila Prabhupada, it is the duty of the public to present a gift to a saintly person, Vaishnava or Brahmana, when going to see him. Every Vaishnava is dependent on Krishna, and Krishna is ready to supply all of life's necessities, provided a Vaishnava follows the principles set forth by the spiritual master. There are certainly many householders in our Krishna conscious movement. They join the movement and live in the society centers. But if they take advantage of this opportunity and do not work but live at the expense of the movement, eating prasadam and simply sleeping, they place themselves in a very dangerous position. It is therefore advised that grihasthas should not live in the temple. They must live outside the temple and maintain themselves. Of course, if the grihasthas are fully engaged in the Lord's service according to the directions of the authorities, there's no harm in them living in a temple. In any case, the temple should not be a place to eat and sleep. A temple manager should be very careful about these things. So whoever is there, so he's pointing out, he's giving an example here of the grihastha, that they wouldn't just see it as a way to maintain and then do nothing. The same way would be anybody else, the brahmacharis, the vanaprastha, sannyasis. It's that everybody should be fully engaged in the Lord's service. So if they are, then living in the temple works very nice. And if not, they have that tendency, you know, to be lazy. That's why then you have the grihastha ashram where they would live, you know, at their own arrangement. because then they see I have to work to be maintained. Well, if they live in the temple, they just think, oh, there they think Krishna's maintaining, but they take advantage. But if they go home, then at least then they won't be lazy. But with time, by association of devotees and by the chanting process and worshiping Tulsi, then they should understand is actually Krishna's taking care of either place, and you just should not take advantage. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. In one day, enough food was brought for 10 or 20 people, but the hunter and his wife would accept only as much as they could eat. One day, while speaking to his friend Parvata Muni, Narad Muni requested him to go with him to see his disciple, the hunter. As the saintly sages approached the hunter's place, the hunter could see them from a distance. With great alacrity, the hunter began to run towards his spiritual master, but he could not fall down and offer obeisances because ants were running hither and thither around his feet. Seeing the ants, the hunter whisked them away with a piece of cloth. After thus clearing the ants from the ground, he fell down flat to offer his obeisances. Narad Muni said, "My dear hunter, such behavior is not at all astonishing. A man in devotional service is automatically nonviolent. He is the best of gentlemen." Srila Prabhupada, in this verse, the word sadhuvarya means the best of gentlemen. At the present moment, there are so many so-called gentlemen who are expert in killing animals and birds. Nonetheless, these so-called gentlemen profess a type of religion that strictly prohibits killing. According to Narad Muni in Vedic culture, animal killers are not even gentlemen, to say nothing of being religious men. A religious person, a devotee of the Lord, must be nonviolent. Such is the nature of a religious person. It is contrary to be violent and at the same time call oneself a religious person. Such hypocrisy is not approved by Narad Muni and the disciplic succession. Right? Because then, if you're depending upon Krishna, you're doing, there's no need to be violent. Your life is very simple. There's nothing that you don't get involved in politics and all these kind of things like that. Interesting. We have someone called Zoom user. Okay. Narad Muni continued, "O hunter, good qualities like nonviolence, which you have developed, are not very astonishing. But those engaged in the Lord's devotional service are never inclined to give pain to others because of envy." Footnote 60. This is a quotation from the Skanda Purana. Right, because we have to remember here is that the hunter used to, you know, kill animals to, you know, as his occupation, and then he'd even half kill them. He took pleasure in that process. So now he's not even willing to disturb an ant, you know. And so Narad Muni's pointing out that, you know, this kind of amazing change is not actually astonishing because they're devotees. They've surrendered to the Lord, and so then the devotee of the Lord develops all good qualities. So that's why he makes this point. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. The hunter then received the two great sages in the courtyard of his house. He spread out a straw mat for them to sit upon, and with great devotion, he begged them to sit down. He then fetched water and washed the sages' feet with great devotion. Then both husband and wife drank that water and sprinkled it on their heads. Srila Prabhupada, this is the process one should follow when receiving the spiritual master or someone on the level of the spiritual master. When the spiritual master comes to the residence of his disciples, the disciple should follow in the footsteps of the former hunter. It doesn't matter what one was before initiation. After initiation, one must learn the etiquette mentioned herein. Right. So these are standard. These are universal principles. One can say, oh, but we don't do this in the West, or we don't do this in our country, or in our region, or in our neighborhood, or on our street, or, you know, in my house, or in my bedroom, or in my closet, or, you know, in the box where I keep my shoes. You know, there's no advantage to pointing this out, because The thing is all those things mentioned, those are just regional conditioning that actually has nothing to do with the soul. So if you say I'm a Westerner, you've missed out on the first point of spiritual life, which is that we're not the body, we're not the mind. Yes, it's conditioned, it may work in certain ways, but that doesn't mean it has to be exclusively in that kind of position. Seeing that your modern society, modern culture is not necessarily actually culture. That means they call it culture, but at the same time, as one may question, is it? You know. So he says, after initial, one must learn the etiquette mentioned here. It's just standard etiquette. This is the way. This is the way the cosmos deals. Right? 276 to 277. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, when the hunter chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra before his spiritual master, his body trembled and tears welled up in his eyes. Filled with ecstatic love, he raised his hands and began to dance, waving his garments up and down. Then Parvata Muni saw the ecstatic loving symptoms of the hunter, he told Narada, certainly you are a touchstone. Srila Prabhupada, when a touchstone touches iron, it turns the iron to gold. Parvata Muni called Narada Muni a touchstone because by his touch, the hunter, who was the lowest among men, became an elevated and perfect Vaishnava. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that the position of a Vaishnava can be tested by seeing how good a touchstone he is. That is, by seeing how many Vaishnavas he has made during his life. A Vaishnava should be a touchstone so that he can convert others to Vaishnavism by his preaching. Even though people may be fallen like the hunter, there are so many advanced devotees who sit in a secluded place for their personal benefit. They do not go out to preach and convert others into Vaishnavas, and therefore they certainly cannot be called sparshamani, advanced devotees. Kanista Adhikari devotees cannot turn others into Vaishnavas, but a Madhyam Adhikari Vaishnava can do so by preaching. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised his followers to increase the numbers of Vaishnavas. Jare Dekha Tare Kaha Krishna Upadesha. Amar Agyai Guru Hoy Tara Edesha. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 7.128. It is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's wish that everyone become a Vaishnava and Guru. Following the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his disciplic succession, one can become a spiritual master, for the process is very easy. One can go everywhere and anywhere to preach the instructions of Krishna. The Bhagavad Gita is Krishna's instructions. Therefore, the duty of every Vaishnava is to travel and preach the Bhagavad Gita, either in his country or in a foreign country. This is the test of sparshamani, right? It means touchstone, following in the footsteps of Narada Muni. So the idea is you become Vaishnava by surrendering to the spiritual master in the process. And then one then preaches and inspires others also to therefore then take up these instructions. So that's the important point, is that one is preaching and one is training some people how to practice Krishna consciousness. That is the main element, like that. One should never mistake this, that Lord Chaitanya is saying everybody has to become an initiating spiritual master. Means amongst these preachers, then definitely there's going to be those who are initiating spiritual masters. But for the initiation itself, the important thing is the instructions. Narada Muni gave instructions before, Narada Muni gave instructions after. So the instructions are actually the main element that is at play here. The ceremony itself is an important samskara, it purifies. And, you know, these processes are there. But the main thing is taking up the instructions that are there. 224-278. Parvata Muni continued, my dear friend Narada Muni, you are glorified as the sage among the demigods. By your mercy, even a low-born person like this hunter can immediately become attached to Lord Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, a pure Vaishnava believes in the sentiments of the Shastras. This verse is quoted from the Vedic literature, the Skanda Purana. 279. Right, so then here, then Parvati Muni Narad Muni then asked the hunter, "My dear Vaishnava, do you have some income for your maintenance?" And the hunter replied, "My dear spiritual master, whoever you send gives me something when he comes to see me." Srila Prabhupada. This confirms the statement in the Bhagavad Gita 9:22, to the effect that the Lord carries all necessities to his Vaishnava devotee. Narad Muni asked the former hunter how he was being maintained. And he replied that everyone who came to see him brought him something for his maintenance. Krishna, who is situated in everyone's heart, says, "I personally carry all necessities to a Vaishnava." He can order anyone to execute this. Everyone is ready to give something to a Vaishnava. And if a Vaishnava is completely engaged in devotional service, he need not be anxious for his maintenance. Yeah. If one's doing nothing, then one might be anxious. But if one is absorbed in Krishna's service, then one doesn't have to worry. Krishna will take care. 224 to 80. The former hunter said, "Please do not send so much grain. Only send what is sufficient for two people, no more." Srila Prabhupada. The former hunter only wanted enough for two people to eat, no more. It is not necessary for a Vaishnava to keep a stock of food for the next day. He should receive only sufficient grain to last one day. The next day, he must again depend on the Lord's mercy. This is the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When his personal friend Govinda sometimes kept a stock of haritaki, my Robalan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastised him, saying, "Why did you keep a stock for the next day?" Srila Rupa Goswami and others were begging daily from door to door for their sustenance. They never attempted to stock their ashram with food for the next day. We should not materially calculate, thinking it is better to stock food for a week. Why give the Lord trouble for having him bring food daily? One should be convinced the Lord will provide daily. There is no need to stock food for the next day. Right? So Krishna will take care. So then whatever is the arrangement and all that, that means, in other words, we're thinking like this. Organizers and that who are running temples and that, then they might, you know, stock and do different things. Because it's just, you know, you can buy things cheaper, you can do this and that. But they're not thinking, oh, we have to stock because we'll have nothing. They're just thinking in service to the Lord, then we're maintaining these things. But the point is that you have enough for one day, you have enough for a week. It's Krishna who's arranging it anyway. It's not coming by some other method. And all these things, oh, we wouldn't want to bother Krishna, or these things. We don't need to make these calculations. That's why before it was mentioned that, you know, then after initiation, one must learn the etiquette mentioned herein. Right? So that's the point, is you know the etiquette, you follow the etiquette. /284, 281 to 282. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. Narad Muni approved his not wanting more than a daily supply of food, and he blessed him, saying, "You are fortunate." Narad Muni and Parvati Muni then disappeared from that place. Thus I have narrated the incident of the hunter. By hearing this narration, one can understand the influence of association with devotees. Because someone is absorbed in the material nature, and wherever they are in that cycle of samsara, but when they come in contact with the pure Vaishnava, then at that time they become fortunate, because then they move out of that cycle and now they are in progression going back to Godhead. Because Krishna says there's one path, but others in the cycle of samsara, they follow it up to a point and then they turn around and go back. I mean, at the bottom they go up and then they turn around, but they never get out of the sphere within the material creation. Verses 283 to 323. 32 additional Atmaramas and 3 other meanings. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "In this way we have found 3 more meanings of the Atmarama verse. Combine these with the other meanings, and the total number The total meanings add up to 26 in all. Udriti, from the purport to verse 220. The three further meanings of the verse are understood when: one, the word cha is taken to mean in due course; two, the word cha is taken to mean eva, and the word api to mean censure; and the third, nirgranta, is taken to mean one who is very poor without money. 224 to 284. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. There is yet another meaning, which is full of a variety of imports. Actually, there are two gross meanings and 32 subtle meanings. But so now he's going to give another 33, right? That's what he said. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. Okay, Srila Prabhupada. The two gross meanings refer to regulative devotional service and spontaneous devotional service. There are also 32 subtle meanings under the heading of regulated devotional service. So there are also 32 subtle meanings. Under the heading of regulated devotional service, there are 16 meanings based on understanding the word Atmarama to mean. Okay. One, a servant of the Lord as his personal associate. Two, a personal friend. Three, personal parents or similar superiors. Four, a personal beloved. Five, a servant elevated by spiritual cultivation. Six, a friend by spiritual cultivation. Seven, parents and superior devotees by cultivation of spiritual devotional service. Eight, a beloved wife or female friend by cultivation of devotional service. Nine, a mature devotee as a servant. 10, a mature devotee as a friend. 11, a mature devotee as a parent or superior. 12, a mature devotee as a wife and beloved. 13, an immature devotee as a servant. 14, an immature devotee as a friend. 15, an immature devotee as father or superior. And 16, an immature devotee as a beloved. Similarly, under the heading of spontaneous devotional service, there are also 16 various associates. Therefore, the total number of devotees under the headings of regulated devotees and spontaneous devotees is 32. These additional 32 types of Atmaramas are described in verses 284 to 293. 224, 285 to 293. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, right? So he's already given that there's two gross meanings and 32 subtle. Right, 16 of each of those two gross or the two main. The word Atma refers to all the different personalities of Godhead. One of them is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan. And the others are different incarnations or expansions of Krishna, Bhagavan, Akhyana. One who always engages in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is called Atmarama. There are two types of Atmaramas. One is an Atmarama engaged in regulated devotional service, Vaidhi Bhakti, and the other is an Atmarama engaged in spontaneous devotional service, Raga Bhakti. Both the Atmaramas engaged in regulated devotional service, and those engaged in spontaneous devotional service are further categorized into four groups. There are the eternal associates, Parishad, the associates who have become perfect by devotional service, sadhana siddha, those who are practicing devotional service and are called sadhakas, sadhaka gana ara, of whom there are two varieties. Those who are practicing devotional service are either mature or immature. Therefore, the sadhakas are of two types. Since the devotees execute either regulative devotional service or spontaneous devotional service, and there are four groups within these two divisions, altogether there are eight varieties. By executing regulative devotional service, One is elevated to the platform of eternally perfect associate, such as a servant, friend, superior, or beloved woman. Each of these is of four varieties. Among those who have practiced, who have perfected themselves by devotional service, there are servants, friends, superiors, and beloved damsels. Similarly, there are four types of mature devotees. Within the category of regulated devotional service, there are also immature devotees. They're also of four varieties, right? So each one of them has the four varieties. So whether they're the eternal associates, those who have already become siddha by devotional service, or those who are practicing the devotional process, and they are either mature or not mature. So those four there, have four. You know, those in the servitorship, friendship, parental, or as you mentioned, superior servant, friend, superior, or beloved woman. So that way you get 16. Thus, in the regular devotional service, there are altogether 16 varieties. On the path of spontaneous devotional service, there are also 16 categories of devotees. Thus, there are 32 types of Atmaramas, enjoying the Supreme Lord on these two paths. When these 32 types of devotees are qualified with the words Muni, Nirgranta, Cha, and Api, the meanings can be increased in different ways and very soundly elaborated upon. 224-294-303. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. When we add the 26 types of devotees to these 32, they altogether number 58. Now you may hear from me a further manifestation of the meanings. In this way, as I add the word cha to one word after another, I make a compound. Thus, the different names of Atmaramas may be taken 58 times. In this way, one can repeat the word Atmarama with cha for each of the 58 meanings. By following the rule previously stated and rejecting all but the last, we retain that which represents all the meanings. Quote, of words having the same form and case termination, the last one is the only one retained. 61. This is a quotation from Panini Sutras 1.2.64. Right? Means you have so many of them, but you only retain the last one. You don't have to put cha after each, like you say, Krishna's cha, Ramas cha, like he said before. You just say Krishna Ramas cha, like that. So like that. When all the cha karas or additions of the word cha are taken away, 58 different meanings can be understood by the one word Atmarama. Right? Does that make sense? So when there's, in this case, when there's the chas, you remove all the other ones. You know, it's just like you don't have to say, there's this one and that one and that one and that one and that. You don't. You just say, there's this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, and that one. So it's the same principle. When all the chakaras or additions of the word cha are taken away, 58 different meanings can still be understood by the one word Atmarama. By the plural word vriksha, trees, all trees such as banyan trees, fig trees, kapita trees, and mango trees are indicated. The Atmarama verse is like the sentence, in the forest many different trees bear fruit. End quote. All Atmaramas render devotional service to Lord Krishna. After uttering the word Atmarama 58 times and taking cha in a sense of aggregation, one may add the word Munayaha. That will mean that great sages also render devotional service to Lord Krishna. In this way, there are 59 meanings. Then taking the word Nirgranta and considering Api in the sense of sustenance, I have tried to explain a 59th meaning of the verse. Taking all the words together, there is another meaning. Whether one is an Atmarama, a great sage, or a near Granta, everyone must engage in the service of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada. The word sarva samuchaye is significant here. It includes all classes of men, Atmaramas, Munis, and near Granthas. Everyone must engage in the service of the Lord. Taking the word api in the sense of ascertainment, there are altogether 60 different meanings. 224, 304, 312.
Maharaj, may I ask one question?
Yes. What happened to the... You changed it to English, not it's not Russian anymore.
Ah, it's because I was today in English conference.
Oh, okay, very good.
Guru Maharaj, one question is about Atmaramas who belong to yogis. Who are yogis, about yogis. Yogi. Yes. It was written about two types of yogis. One of them worship to Paramatma, and one of them worship to impersonal Brahma Jyoti. And in Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur told that religious people and yogis, they all are on the level of Jnana Maya. And impersonal philosophers, they want to attain Vijnana Maya level. And I don't understand this point. I thought that if yoga is on the level of Jnana Maya because they worship to Paramatma, it's the highest level for religious people. But if we have two types of yogis, one of them personal, one of them worship to Paramatma and one of them worship to Brahma Jyoti, does it mean that yoga can be highest level for religious for Jnana Maya and for Vijnana Maya also? And I just want to understand what is the process for those people who not going by the way of Shuddha Bhakti, direct way, who consequently go to the Bhakti, how they will move from karma to yoga or from Jnana to yoga? What is the process?
Means if you're looking in the, if you are looking, you know, these things, the Bhaktivinoda Thakur, at the end of Chaitanya Shikshamrita, right? When he gives the summary of the whole thing, then he's explaining how each has their mentality at these different levels, right? And then what is the mentality that they have exactly, what they think, what their idea of the philosophy is, and then, you know, how they establish their position. Then he shows the next level, how they explain it, so it defeats the previous level, right? So those kind of definitions are all given there. You know, how they establish that the importance of worshiping the Lord, how it's not just a concept, there is the Lord, and this is the reasons, or, you know, they it just goes naturally up through these stages. But the point is they all stay within the material world until they take up devotional service, you know, that has been, that they've come in contact with the pure Vaishnavas coming in the Sampradaya. So even though they're great yogis and they're great this, they're going to stay within the material sphere because that's what their interest is. And they're interested not so much in God or not so much in the Brahman as their interest in what benefit they'll get by being in that situation, right? Means the Brahmavadi, he wants to emerge into Brahman, but is it about serving Brahman, pleasing Brahman, or it's about him being happy, being absorbed in Brahman, right? So they don't actually go beyond the position of the Mahatattva. They may get to higher levels and more subtle levels, and they may be in those positions for a very long time. Right. And yoga also, you see, is that in the eight stages of the Ashtanga system, the first six, those are karma. Right. And the last two, only those are, you could say, then they're actually meditating on the super soul. But you see, is they meditate on the super soul, but super soul is just part of the process. It's not necessarily that they're absorbed in super soul as their their actual deity to attain, right? So we're not talking about when we see in the Satyuga where the Vaishnavas there are doing the yoga meditation and all that, because they're surrendered to the Lord and meditating on the Lord as devotees. It's just that's the process in that age. But there's other yogis who are doing this, but they specifically are interested in the Vaishnava, I mean, the yoga siddhis that they get and everything like that. And so that will come up before they get into the position of samadhi and things. Right? So I think, what is it? Yoga Rurukshu is the first six, and Yoga Ruda is the last two. Right? And so the point is it's all dependent upon how are they seeing God, right? In the first level of consciousness, they don't care about God. In fact, they don't think there is a God, because if there is a God, then they have to maybe worry about morality and that. So they have the position where they're not moral, and they're atheistic. And they're the ones that always say that, oh, if you say that there's God and he created everything, who created God? And then they have this smile on their face, like, see, I defeated the argument. That's always their approach, because they're looking at everything by material. Material things have a source like that. But the point is God means he's the source of the other things. So he doesn't have a source. You know, he's inconceivable. It's not illogical to say that God's inconceivable. You know, so that's their position. Then the point is no, there needs to be, and they're self-centered. So you get rid of the self-centered aspect by, no, they should work together for the community and all that. Everyone works together. And it's a higher principle to work for the greater good rather than just your own personal good. And by that, everything develops nicely, and then everybody is able to enjoy better. Then then you'll have the pseudo, the person who has faith in an imagined concept of God. That maybe there's a supreme, maybe not, maybe this. But if people have faith in a supreme, then they're going to tend to be more moral. Because if they think somebody's watching them and somebody's giving the results and all that, they'll tend to be more moral than if they don't. Right? So therefore, even for the social structure to work nicely, by belief in God, then that system will work better, right? And so then the next stage will be those who are saying, okay, this is very nice, but actually God does exist, you know, and then they'll have their reasons. But see, for the person on Pranamoy who has that imaginary concept, they're looking at it that it just makes the society run better. Everyone gets better facilities. Everyone behaves better. And therefore, everything works very nicely. While the person who actually believes in the Lord, that he's, you know, that he's there and he's a person, then they're going to look at it that, no, he's there. And, you know, that's how these things are there and creation and all these things and how it works. So they're going to give slightly different arguments. Then if they become frustrated, but in this, you know, it's still, God is just part of their process of morality, because morality means giving benefit to others, right? You follow a code of conduct that you are giving you're giving benefit to others. That's morality, right? That's why the person on Anamoy, there's no morality, because it's about their own benefit. You know, they may have their rules and all that. You know, does that make sense? You know, they may have these different rules. And, you know, about what they do is, yeah, I never give anybody loan money, or, once I always double tap or something. You know, they have their rules. But the point is these rules then are just for their own benefit. Others want to follow them, then they'll benefit, but they're not going to follow rules that benefit others, right? That's pranamoy, right? So even when you're getting up to these higher levels of religion, then they're following that because of the benefit they'll get, though they're willing to accept God, and they're willing to perform those moralistic activities that are beneficial for the society because they're God's laws. In other words, dharma means it's God's laws. So they're following them, but they're following because of the fruit of benefit they'll get, not something else. So it's not done in devotion. It means they're using the process of devotion, but it's not that it's actually about the ultimate position, that the goal they want to do is please the Lord. Pleasing the Lord is part of the process. The goal is to get the particular result they want, the material facility or going to heaven or, you know, these kinds of things. Then the Vijnana Maya there, then they're going to be absorbed in, they drop back from that morality, right? They drop back from that morality. The leap has turned on his microphone and he's making all kinds of noise. No? Oh, well. So, so then Vijnanamaya, then it's not about morality, right? It's because it's not about these social things and interacting and all that. It's just about elevating themselves to the transcendental platform. So they give up the material world. So they tend to not be moralistic. They may follow the rules in that of renunciation, but they're not moralistic. And then their concept of God then turns into an impersonal concept. It's just about getting liberated. So it's not about the person or anything anymore. So this way, then they go through this cycle. You know, you go up and then you go back down. When you get frustrated with that, you get into Buddhism. That is going to turn back into bringing you to the platform of Anamoy. And then you have to come up like that. Though you do see in these Buddhist societies and all that, they talk about the Pranamoy kind of aspect, that everyone does their work, everyone's nice, everyone will be happy. So you see is that in here, there's these main places where there are. But depending on what's there, you have these combinations. So you have a main place where you're situated, but it doesn't mean your consciousness is not in another place. You know what I'm saying? You know, so like that. So let's say if a person is working, serving God, because he'll get the material facility, that would be lower than the one who's serving God because, you know, you're supposed to and do your duty and he wants to go to heaven. Right, but they're all categorized within the theistic morality. Right, but it's still temporary because these things change. They're not looking at the eternal principles. They're not looking at Sanatana Dharma. Right, does that make sense? Because where does Sanatana Dharma comes in? I'm the soul. I'm servant of God. That's where it becomes Sanatana Dharma. Right, God has laws. I, as a servant, follow these laws to please the Lord. The devotional service, that's the Sanatana Dharma. So devotees may situate themselves at the Vijnanamaya platform, but it's all about Anandamaya. Does that make sense? Yeah. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur goes through this and explains it at a few depths, a few times in that summary at the end. It's after the end of the seventh chapter. Then he goes through and summarizes and even tells which philosophers are at which levels. You know, Comte is at this, the Buddhists at that, the world religions are at this level and this and that. You know, he talks about all that. Yeah, that work? Yeah, so it just depends on the yogi, because they take up meditating on the super soul, and then they surrender and then take up devotional service. So they move forward to devotional service, right? Or they see the super soul and then want to merge in him and therefore move back to being absorbed in Brahman. Right? So that you're worshiping Paramatma, that's a higher principle, but you have to see what's their purpose in worshiping Paramatma. Right? Is it devotional service? Is it mystic cities? Is it to be absorbed in Brahman? Like that. You know, so you have a process. What are you using it for? So that's why it sometimes it seems confusing, because something will be explained and there's overlaps, because yes, there's overlaps, because people have different positions that they're using for different purposes. Position itself has a main function, but within that you always have the where one is going into the next. You know, because let's say you have even those who are following a world religion, and so they say they believe in God, but at the same time as they may not actually attribute much to God or think about God much or anything. They just get into the rituals because that then is pious and that gets them the benefit. So they're going to be at the lowest end of Manamoya. They're just above the people who are on the highest end of Pranam. So certain things are going to look very similar, because both of them have faith in God, right? But one of them, it's just, you know, that there is a God, that there is something, there is a supreme. Maybe he's in nature, maybe he's in everybody. He pervades everything. And this, but where does this come from? Where's the Shastric evidence? What's the basis? They're just feeling it within the mind. That's the meaning of imaginary. And they have a certain faith. And others say, no, there is God. And he's the, you know, the, what do you call it? The God of Abraham, the God of Moses, God of Isaac, you know, that kind of thing. And so like that, but at the same time, what is he and all that? So on that level, sometimes they come down. They don't know. They have the faith, they're doing, but at the same time, it's kind of, there's a lower aspect. But if it's about serving God, pleasing God and all that, that's just going to take them to the farthest stages they can get by following their particular process. Right? In other words, bhakti is always the position that makes everything work and brings everything to its perfection. So even within whatever they're doing, if they're trying to develop love for God by surrendering life and doing everything for God, then there's some meaning. That makes sense? Yeah?
Maharaj, I was in one interface meeting recently, and I told that from our position, because they have this material motivation, if people have this material motivation, they usually go to the heavenly planets. And some people asked me if, for example, they asked me about the figure of Jesus Christ. They told if he dedicated his life to God and he even was killed because of his devotion, how it possible that he went only to the heavenly planets. I told that in Brihad Bhagavatamrita was written that only by listening Srimad Bhagavatam we can go to the spiritual world. Was it correct? Or
I mean, in one sense, yes. But at the same time, as you see how Prabhupada talks about Lord Jesus Christ, and that he's a devotee, he's speaking and all these things like that, because he's from Brahmaloka. So he's not going to heaven. He's from Brahmaloka. You know, the personified Vedas? Yeah, he's one of the personified Vedas.
Oh.
Yeah. So they come down, and Prabhupada says sometimes that when they come down and that, they're known as messiahs and this and that. So he's from there. So he's a devotee and all that. And so his dedication and everything, then it'll take him to the highest platform. But the point is then, you know, the idea is then you go back to Godhead. You go back to where God lives and performs his activities, rather than just the heavenly situation where everything's nice, right? Because you see, if you look in the Old Testament, then in the beginning after the creation, then Adam and Eve are walking with God, right? So that means they're with God and all that. Then they leave that situation. And then you talk about now in the contemporary ideas that, you know, on the judgment day, then all the different souls, they'll rise up from wherever they've been buried. And then they go back to there and God will decide, you know, where, you know, if they're good or bad or this or that. If they're bad, they'll go to hell. And if they're good, then they'll go into heaven. Right? And then going into heaven, they walk around, God's sitting there in this big armchair, and they walk around and go into heaven. So God's just the door guy who judges who goes where. So that's quite a shift from the original position that Adam and Eve were in. Does that make sense? You know, so it just depends upon how you want to deal with these things. But the point is, it's not rather than saying Srimad Bhagavatam, it means you always have to be hearing about the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord. You have to be absorbed in the Lord. That will take you there. And that, yeah, and then they'll say, you know, yes, but then where do you find that? And it says, you see in the Shastras, there'll be some definition of this. But then you say, but in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Vedic literatures, that's dedicated just to the pastimes of the Lord, his name, form, qualities, and pastimes. Does that make sense? Yeah, because even from their position, they can become absorbed in all that and make some advancement. But if they want to fully absorb themselves, then that Bhagavatam becomes the position. Right? Because you're talking about going to the spiritual world eternally. Right? We're not talking about just going up to a nice elevated place for some time and then maybe coming back. Like that. I don't think the Christians talk about coming back. The Jews talk about you can come back and then go back again and that. So they have the a little bit more understanding of karma in that way of just the cycle, but it's not so developed. I'm not sure what Islam says on that. You know, if their idea is you're going for a permanent position in the spiritual world, or you're going there to enjoy and then you come back here and enjoy here and be a nice guy and then go there again.
Guru Maharaj, can we say to Christians, such people who ask me, if they will strictly follow to Jesus Christ, they also can go to him, to Brahmaloka, and then with him back to Krishna?
Yeah, like that. The point is that if you think of the pure devotee, you also go to that space. You know, it's like that lady in Mexico City when Srila Prabhupada went there. She asked that, okay, you've said that if you think of Krishna at the time of death, you go to Krishna. Says, what if we think of you at the time of death? She meant Srila Prabhupada. And so then Prabhupada said, yes, that'll also work. Like that. But the point is that they're thinking of him in what context? Just to save the material. You know, in other words, they can be worshiping, just like people we mentioned, people are worshiping God. From these different platforms of results that they want. Some are worshiping God for the purpose of for nice social development and economic development. Others are looking at it more from the personal and social development and that, and then future benefits. And others are looking for liberation. Does that make sense? So they're all worshiping God. But they're looking at it from the Dharma, Artha, and Moksha kind of positions, right? So the point is it means if at the time of death you think of Jesus, then definitely they're going to get benefit. But the point is why are they thinking of Jesus? What's their purpose? Is it Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, or is it Bhakti? You know what I'm saying? And if it's bhakti, then they'll move forward. So whether they'll go to that Brahma Loka or whether they'll come in contact with the devotees and move forward. But the point is their spiritual path will continue until they become perfect. Does that make sense? Yeah. So like that. But it's just, it may be a little slower. You know, like that. So we have no, Prabhupada always calls them, Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't call him something else. You know what I'm saying? Because he's a great preacher, great devotee. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay. How do you know? Okay, 224, 304 to 312. The word api is then used in the sense of ascertainment. And then the word eva can be uttered four times with four words. The words urukrama, bhakti, Ahaituki and Kurvanti are added to the word Eva again and again. Thus, another meaning is explained. Now I have given 60 different meanings of the verse, and yet there is another meaning which is also very strongly evident. The word Atma also refers to the living entity who knows about his body. That is another symptom. From Lord Brahma down to the insignificant ant, everyone is counted as the marginal potency of the Lord. Quote, the potency of Lord Vishnu is summarized in three categories, namely the spiritual potency, the living entities, and ignorance. The spiritual potency, full of knowledge, the living entities, although belonging to the spiritual potency, are subject to bewilderment. And the third energy, which is full of ignorance, is always visible in fruitive activities. Footnote 62. This is a quotation from the Vishnu Purana. The word Kshetragya refers to the living entity, the enjoyer, the chief, and material nature. Right. Okay, so it means the living entity, the enjoyer, the chief, and material nature. These are all the different meanings that you get. So this is a quotation from the Swarga Varga 7 of the Amarkosha dictionary. Right, so Prabhupada always quotes the Amarkosha and the, you know, how you say, these different traditional dictionaries. The living entities are wandering in different species of life on different planets. But if by chance they get the association of pure devotees, sadhu, they give up all other engagements and engage in the service of Krishna. Thus, I have thus explained 60 different meanings, and all of them aim at the service of Krishna. After giving so many examples, that is the only meaning. Right? So he is... He's pointing out is that living entities in the material world are just going to go through the cycle of samsara. They're just going to be going up and going down. And, you know, and this process can take a very long time. But if anybody comes in contact with the pure devotees, right, the pure devotees, the sadhu, then they can give up all these other engagements on the material platform and take up devotional service. And so, therefore, that attraction to Krishna, then they'll go forward and go back to Godhead. So it's a different path. It's the same. It means it's the same path, but it's the only path that will break out of the cycle. The other one is, you see, they're going up, but then they'll come back. They'll go up, they'll come back. But this is the only one that goes up and keeps going. And since its goal is the Lord, and by the Lord's grace, then that path is. What do you call it? Trans. I remember the word. It means you cross over this path very easily and very quickly. You know, so said, like it says, the material ocean is shrunk down to the size of a cat's hoofprint. Right? So when you step onto that, you know, it says about you have the boat, you know, and then you have the spiritual masters, the captain. The Vedas, you know, the instructions are the favorable breezes and all these things. But as soon as you step onto this boat, the whole ocean is shrunk down to the size of a calf's hoofprint. Calf's hoofprint is quite small. It's only about that big. So you can step right over that. Right? Even a child can step over that. And so then one easily. And that means that the boat is on both shores. It means because otherwise you get in that boat, you're going to cross to the other side. But while it's on going towards the other side, then the people that are on the bank on this side, they can't take advantage. But here, as soon as you step on the boat, then it's the size of a calf's footprint. You step across and the boat's still on this side. It never. So that means then all the, you know, unlimited living entities can approach and all they can all in this way then attain to the, you know, the supreme destination. After giving so many examples, that is the only meaning, right? So all these 60 mean that whatever position they're in, wherever they are, right? The living entities are wandering in different species of life on different planets, but if by chance they get the association of pure devotees, sadhu, they give up all their engagements and engage in the service of Lord Krishna. So all those 60 are explaining that one thing. Okay, I have thus... And explain 60 different meanings, and all of them aim at the service of Lord Krishna. After giving so many examples, that is the only meaning. Now, due to your association, another meaning has awakened. It is due to your devotional service that these waves of meanings are arising. Srila Prabhupada. The word Atma refers to the living entity. From Lord Brahma down to an insignificant ant, everyone is considered a living entity. Living entities are considered part of the Lord's marginal potency. All of them are kshetragya, knowers of the body. When they become nirgrantha or free, saintly persons, they engage in Lord Krishna's service. That is the 61st meaning of the verse. Okay. Yeah, when they become nirgrantha or free from this time, then, or free saintly persons, when they give up that consciousness, they engage the service. That's the sixth. So one's in that bodily consciousness, you give up that bodily consciousness, and then you become free of that, you can engage in Lord Krishna's service. So we can see is that this is the 61st, you know, that he has gotten by the association with the... if you come up with the position that no, we are Westerners, so therefore, you know, we have to do things in a certain way, that you'd have to, by having heard all these explanations and now Lord Chaitanya's conclusion, have to understand that that particular approach is the exact opposite of the 61st, and it attains none of the other positions. So therefore, it's not devotional service. It's not philosophical. It's not Vedic. It's not progressive. One has to be convinced of this. Okay. When they become nirgrantha or free saintly persons, they engage in Lord Krishna's service. So they all started from Brahma down to the ant. They're all considered part of the most posted. And they are all kshetragya, knowers of the body. So they all absorb themselves in that position identity. When they give up that identity, that's when they become nirgrantha. And that's, I mean, they become nirgrantha. Then they become saintly. Then they can engage nicely in the Lord's service.
Right. That makes sense.
Riti. Essentially, Lord Chaitanya is saying that whether you are one of the 58 previously listed Atmaramas, a Muni, a Nigranta, or any living entity, you must engage in the service of the Lord. These are the 61 meanings of the Atmarama verse given to Srila Sanatan Goswami. Yes? No? Very good. Okay. 224, 313. Lord Shiva said, I may know, Sukadeva Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva, may know, and Vyasadeva may or may not know Srimad Bhagavatam. On the whole, Srimad Bhagavatam, the spotless Purana, can be learned only through devotional service, not by material intelligence, speculative methods, or imaginary commentaries. So that's also, yes, we're saying Srimad Bhagavatam is the main thing in that, but it still has to be heard from the cyclic succession, because others may make commentaries on Bhagavatam and that. The point is hearing the glories of the Lord from the pure devotees, that's what's going to make everything work. So that's why then, if one is interested in that spiritual position, one associates with those who are interested in that spiritual position coming in parampara. In other words, you follow in the footsteps of someone who you know, the spiritualist who's following the footsteps of another spiritualist. But it means they may be spiritual, but if they're not following a bona fide spiritual master, then they can't actually be accepted as a bona fide spiritual master. So in this way, then the hearing of the Bhagavatam, that's why it says in association with devotees. So that makes it very important. So yes, but the point is Bhagavatam means it's the perfection of hearing about the name, form, pastimes, and qualities, entourage, dom, and of the Lord. That's what's so perfect about it. And we see how all the great personalities, by doing that, they've come to that transcendental position. So it becomes very, very nice in that way. Yes? No? Okay. On the whole, Srimad Bhagavatam, the spotless Purana, can be learned only through devotional service, not by material knowledge, intelligence, speculative methods, or imaginary commentaries, you know, where people try to say we're Westerners, and so therefore we have our own method. Yeah, these are imaginary commentaries. They're coming from somebody's mind. They're not real. Srila Prabhupada, devotional service includes 9 processes, beginning with hearing, chanting, and remembering the activities of Lord Vishnu. Only one who has taken the devotional service can understand Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the spotless Purana. For a transcendentalist, is the spotless Purana for a transcendentalist, Paramahamsa. So-called commentaries are useless for this purpose. According to the Vedic injunction, yasya devi para bhaktir yata devi tata gurau, Sweta Svatara Upanishad 6.23. All Vedic literatures maintain that Srimad Bhagavatam has to be learned from the person Bhagavat, and to understand it, one has to engage in pure devotional service. Srimad Bhagavatam cannot be understood by so-called erudite scholars or grammarians. Right, so it's not that someone's erudite, that someone's all these different things. These are not how they can be understood. So erudite scholars are grammarians. So it's like, no, we're just, you know, we're speaking here, we're giving, you know, the very nice grammatical or more like this and that. You know, we're not getting into the more sentimental, you need the faith and all that kind of thing. But Prabhupada points out religion doesn't mean faith. That's how that's the modern translation. Is that it's a kind of faith, but actually religion means following the laws of God. That's what religion is. The laws of God, that means practicing those, that's religion. And so the laws of God means it's something that can't be changed. So there's a law of God concerning every aspect of the creation, and those laws don't change. So that means the inherent nature of something that doesn't change means it's a law of God. And so therefore that the soul is servant, that doesn't change no matter what the situation. As he points out, even you have the president of the country, still they have to serve the country. They have to serve the public. So everybody's serving. There's no question, you know. And so that's the nature of the soul. So that's what you have to follow. And all other things are superfluous. They're not actually very serious. So one has to be able to appreciate that. Yeah. So that's why, just because you're smart or like that, I've had devotees say, because they're PhDs, they say, no, I can understand whatever you're doing. And it's kind of like, no, you can't. Yeah, because you can't understand it by scholarship, erudite scholarship or grammar, you know, or by logicians or all these other things like that, or rhetoric. It can only be understood by pure devotion, by hearing from in the parampara, you know, like we're here, we're reading from what Lord Chaitanya is speaking, Sanatana Goswami, what Prabhupada mentioned, sometimes the other acharyas, what they mentioned. So like that, and that discussions in the association of devotees, that's what's going to bring about an understanding. Nothing else will. That you can sit down and grammatically read it doesn't mean you understand it at all. One who has developed pure Krishna consciousness and has served the pure devotee, the spiritual master, can understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Others cannot. So that's the thing, is that we've absorbed ourselves in Krishna consciousness and we've served the instructions of the spiritual master. That then can get you somewhere. Nothing else can actually, nothing else will get you Krishna consciousness. It means we're in the context of the Atmarama verse here, is that you want to be absorbed in Krishna, that's the only way. 224, 314, 2316. Okay. After hearing all the explanations of all the different meanings of the Atmarama verse, Sanatana Goswami was struck with wonder. He fell down at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and began to offer prayers. Sanatana Goswami said, "My dear Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda. All the Vedic literatures are vibrated through your breathing. My dear Lord, you are the original speaker of the Bhagavatam. You therefore know its real import. But for you, no one can understand the confidential meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam." Okay. Srila Prabhupada, following this statement by Srila Sanatana Goswami, we have written our introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam. So that understanding that Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, who is none other than the son of Maharaj Nanda, then he is the original speaker of the Bhagavatam. And therefore, then, you know, because he's Krishna. And so therefore we can understand Bhagavatam by coming in that line, coming down through the Goswamis from Lord Chaitanya. Yes. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.